Pitch to Pfister, a swing and a ground ball, and a base hit up the middle. Rasmus scores. Here comes Gomez. The throw from Piscotty, a slide, and safe. Carlos Gomez scores on the two-run single by Doug Pfister.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Here's the 0-1 delivery and a line drive to center. Gomez going back. He's at the track. He reaches up, and he makes the catch. And the ball game is over. Astros win it by a final score of 5-2. Houston takes the opener here in St. Louis.
Welcome back to Astro Launch. We're joined with Astros starting pitcher Doug Pfister. And Doug, congrats on the big victory for you guys last night against a very hot Cardinals ball club. Must have been great to get the W.
You know what? It was. It was definitely a booster for us. You know, guys are playing well together and really busting their tails out there. You know, it was a little bit of a warm night, and guys are playing hard. So it's definitely a positive thing. On top.
Now, you really got after it right from the start, and at one point retired 14 in a row. Anything in particular work out for you on the mound or that you were really pleased with?
Biggest thing for me is executing with my sinker, but biggest is using the defense, utilizing the fact that we've got a lot of young talent out there, all the way around. It's, something that Gaddy and I were working well together behind the plate and just letting the guys use their instincts and play the game the way they know how, and it ends up working out the best, in the end that way.
You mentioned Gattis now behind the plate working for the Astros, and how has that gone in terms of your relationship with him as a catcher?
You know, we've done a lot of talking, off the field and kind of getting on the same page, and, it from the time that they told him he's going to start catching again, he's really been knuckling down and really trying to focus on becoming a catcher and to be a very good one. He's constantly asking the pitchers what they do and how they're going to work, but he's always studying hitters and really just kind of doing what catchers do and trying to just fit in without anybody really noticing a change.
Chatting with Doug Pfister, and it seemed like you were also working up in the zone a little bit. This Cardinals ball club does a nice job of attacking pitches down in the strike zone. Was that a point of emphasis for you last night?
It was. It's something that Strami and I have definitely been working on this year and kind of trying to utilize that as much as possible. I think that, it's a tool in the toolbox that needs to be used at the right time and not overused. And it opens up some different avenues for me and allows me to throw the curveball off of that same pitch. So it kind of gives some different perceptions and it definitely has helped, elevate my game.
Well, you're the star on the mound last night. You were also the star at the plate as well. Astros with a one-run lead, two outs, guys in scoring position. Were you surprised that you were up there to bat?
No, it's Skip had some confidence in me, allowed me to go up there, and we were planning on bunting, but situation allowed me to swing it, and fortunately for me, I was able to put a somewhat of a swing on the ball. I've been working with Lonzo quite a bit in the cage and Hudge, and just trying to put a competitive at bat together at least and give ourselves a chance, and luckily we found a hole and scored a couple.
And you attacked the first pitch from 0. Was that kind of your thinking going up there?
Not really. I was definitely going to see some pitches, but for some reason felt inclined to swing at the first one there and saw it and went after it.
Now, is that difficult for you as a pitcher after a big hit like that? A lot of emotions going, you have to go out there and pitch the seventh and kind of settle things down. Was that a challenge last night?
Typically it probably would have been, but lucky for me, I've been in the National League last couple of years, so I think it's a little bit more familiar to me. But definitely it's something that, you definitely have to take a minute to, kind of regroup and calm down a little bit, catch your breath and kind of take a, drink of water, kind of cool off a little bit. Just enough to get back into the swing of things as a pitcher again.
Astros starting pitcher Doug Pfister. Doug, thank you very much for your time. Good luck down the road.
Thank you very much.
More of Astro Launch continues after this.
The following minute of Astros history featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
On this day in 1987, Mike Scott and Dave Smith kept 26,000 fans in the Astrodome a little cooler by fanning 17 Reds batters. Scotty, with his sinking and sailing fastballs and disappearing split finger pitches, punched out 14 of them in 8 innings. And Smitty came on and struck out the side of the ninth with his fastball, curve, and forkball combination. Tracy Jones and Ron Oster fanned 4 times each, and Terry Francona was the only Reds batter that didn't strike out. The Astros got on the board when Billy Doran hit a solo homer in the sixth, Scott reached on a fielder's choice and scored in the seventh, and Kevin Bass and Ron Reynolds had RBIs in the eighth. The Reds were in first place, but the Astros pulled to within a game and a half with the victory.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid. Put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I'm with the manager, A.J. Hinch, today after a great game for you, A.J. I thought that was one of the better games of the year as far as your starting pitcher went out there and set the pace and was real aggressive.
Yeah, it was a clean game for us. And you know, we talked before the game how you have to play clean baseball to beat these guys. The Cardinals are very fundamentally sound. They put a lot of pressure on you, but at the same time, they make you beat them. And that's exactly what we did. We had some situational hitting. We had a sack bunt by our pitcher. Our pitcher came through with a big two-out base hit. George Springer, second and third, had an RBI ground out. Just little things that produced five runs in one of the cleaner games of the year for us, and we got the win.
And you had a decision to make when you let Fister bat for that third time, and he came through. What was going through your mind? Did you have somebody in play to maybe pinch hit there?
Yeah, I did. And the way the game played out is if it was bases loaded and one out, I was going to hit for him and have two shots at opening the game up. We had the lead. I was very comfortable. Fister was throwing great.
Yeah.
But, you know, to try to break the game open, but with two outs and a runner on second and third, there's no guarantees, and I went with the pitcher, which is you know, always a difficult call in the National League rules. Mm. But with Doug throwing the ball very well, you know, I wanted to give him the green light to swing as well, and lo and behold, he delivers one of the more important singles of the season.
Yeah. All right, tell me what you thought about Colby Rasmus. I got a really good feeling. Just all that he went through here with St. Louis, I felt really good about the big hits he had.
Yeah, it's a big deal when you come back to your original home for the first time, and it's special for him. And I know he wanted to do well. His first at-bat, he was very over-amped, swinging at everything. He settled in nicely. I know the home run felt good. He may never admit it, but it's a nice feeling to trot around the bases in your original home. He obviously had another hit, played good defense. His team wins. It's a nice welcome home for him.
It's amazing when Carlos Gomez is able to cut down on his swing. The results are there, aren't they?
They are, and he's doing a little bit better, you know, incrementally as the time away from the DL has helped him. He's got a couple home runs. He's got a couple of doubles. He's running all over the bases. Mm-hmm. There's an empty game in there too, but for the most part, when he's under control, he's a productive player and he causes havoc. He's drawn a few walks. And unfortunately for him and for us, you know, we look up at the scoreboard and the numbers are getting better, but they're never going to feel good, you know, for the time being. And it's going to take him a little bit of time to get out. But, for us, if he can be productive, you know, we know he's an everyday player here. He's got a ton of experience. And if he can settle in at this pace of play and be comfortable with it, we'll get the better player.
Facing a real tough pitcher tonight, and Adam Wainwright, not only a great pitcher, but a good hitter too, obviously. But tell me what he presents as a challenge for you guys.
Yeah, he's changed as a pitcher. You know, he doesn't throw as hard as he used to. He's got the good curveball still. Yeah. He'll shape pitches differently. He disrupts timing. Never throws the same speed twice. I mean, he's a creative pitcher out there, and the reputation comes with it. He's always got the power curveball in his back pocket when he wants it. So if you stay in the strike zone, he's very hittable. Because nothing's going to overpower you or nothing's going to intimidate you. If you swing at his marginal pitches, which he's really good at doing, it could be a long night.
You mentioned, AJ, that you felt like the personality's back with this team. Mm-hmm. What's your message to these guys? I mean, just four games under 500 right now, and just to try to stay close in this race right now, but what do you tell these guys on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, you know, I try to keep consistent with these guys and just let them know we've got to play the schedule out. It's really the same message, just coming from a different perspective from last season. Mm-hmm. You know, we got out so hot and had so many wins early, you still have to play the whole season. We needed 162 games to get where we got. So the message is the same now. We're just looking at it from a little different perspective. So I come here with a consistent approach. We haven't even played half our games yet. Yeah. So our season's not identified as a success or a failure, or it's not even identified as what can happen if we put together some good baseball. I'm proud of the way we've played over the last 6 weeks. Of course, we've had a couple series that haven't gone our way, but Major League Baseball has a way of humbling you when you feel good. It also has a way of pushing you when you feel bad. So we'll play the whole schedule and see where this team takes us. I hope we put together a good run to where we put some pressure on the front office to maybe add a guy and get back in this race as we play Seattle. We play Anaheim twice. We play Oakland before the All-Star break, before our 80th game. So it'll be a nice month for us if we can put together good baseball.
It's AJ Hinch. Thanks for catching up.
You got it.
Pitch your questions to the booth. Email your questions to radio@astros.com. Robert Ford and Steve Sparks fielding your baseball questions. Radio@astros.com.